Let us now together open the Word of God in the New Testament, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation of Jesus Christ to John on Patmos. We read chapter 15, page 1228 in our Pew Bible. Revelation chapter 15, this is the word of God. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened, and out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, with golden sashes around the chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. That's our scripture passage. In the exposition of the doctrine of salvation, we have come to Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You find that on page 894 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal, 894, Lord's Day 47. Lord's Day 47, where we echo the word of God as follows. What does the first petition mean? Hallowed be your name means, help us to truly know you, to honor, glorify, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them, your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. That's Lord's Day 47. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we address God as our Father in heaven to express our faith and trust in him. For he is a gracious God. He is a great God. That's what we confessed in Lord's Day 46, brothers and sisters. He wants his children to come to him, to rely on him. He loves it when they speak with him in their inner room, as the Lord Jesus indicated. We also love to express our faith and trust in him in our intimate covenant communion with him, as we saw on Lord's Day 45. For faith affects our life, our hearts, our minds, our feelings, etc. Faith moves us to speak with God as our Father. Speak about everything in our life with Him. Share all our needs for body and soul with Him. Is that not a wonderful thing indeed? Speak from heart to heart with God the Father. Is that not amazing? Entrust yourself to God's fatherly care, knowing that He is willing to help you as a faithful Father and able also as an Almighty God. For He is our Heavenly Father, right? He is a great God. Now, when you live this intimately with the Father in heaven, beloved, you can't keep that just as a matter of the inner room. Such interactions and communications won't be a matter of a good feeling only. You speak about that. Your heart flows over with thankfulness for such a wonderful relationship. Yes, then this afternoon we may add, we don't just do this as confessors or as Christians, but with the first petition we do so as God's children. We pray our Heavenly Father as children who know Him through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, as our God and our Father. Help us, first of all, that we may truly know You, rightly live with You. Yes, we learn to pray for this through Christ's prayer instruction. We did so for the purpose that we may profess His name, praise and glorify Him, and show yourselves to be His children in our whole life. Hallowed be Your name, beloved. That's briefly how we express that prayer. Just four words. Yes, then we know that the form is a wish, a petition indeed. Hallowed be Your name. Make it so, Father in heaven, that Your name is hallowed in our life in this world. Yes, and then we imply that we know His name, namely the name of God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. He is the one we confess in our votum at the beginning of each worship service, as the one in whom we trust, in whom we find our help. He can and will give us all things we need in this service and in our whole life. That's what His name stands for. His name is His fame. As Creator, as Redeemer, as Covenant Lord, as Father of Christ and Savior, that's Him. Hallowed be His name. His name be declared holy, that is. His name be set apart, exalted in word. Praise the Lord, for His name is high exalted, and indeed, in a holy life, a righteous walk in which we share by faith in Jesus Christ as Christians. And through the anointing with the Holy Spirit as God's children. That's what I may proclaim from God's word. Father, give that Your honor and glory mean everything to us. Through the right knowledge, our first point, in a righteous life. Our second point. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. Father, give that Your honor and glory mean everything to us through the right knowledge in a righteous life. So first of all, help us that we may hallow Your name through the right knowledge. Indeed, brothers and sisters, that's what our Lord's Day expresses in the first place. Help us to truly know You. And who are the we? Of course, the we are in the first place the children of Lord's Day 46. But with Lord's Day 49, we should also include all men. In Lord's Day 49, we confess, help us and all people to renounce our own wills. Why? Because it is our desire, first of all, that Father's honor and glory mean everything to us, not only in our own life, but also in the midst of this world. That's very important, as the Lord Jesus indicates, by making this our primary concern. God wants to be known by everyone. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and faithfulness. Psalm 115, verse 1. That was Christ's purpose and goal. Not my will, but your will. As long as the Father receives all glory and honor through me. John 8, verse 50. That's what should be our desire as well, he instills. Profess his name, confess it rightly. Now, admittedly, beloved, that's not easy. That's not something that we can presume to happen just like that. It's a matter of prayer, indeed, that God's name be known truly, rightly. It's very difficult, first of all, if you realize how great and glorious, how powerful and almighty God is. With Belgian Confession, Article 2, we confess that we know him by two means, his manifestation and revelation. That knowing him in his manifestation, his handiwork already, is something overwhelming. It's like trying to look at the sun and be blinded by it. Yet, when you see the sun shine over a forest of fall colors, you realize how breathtaking and awesome our Maker is. Well, the sun is only a sun, one of his creatures. How much greater and more glorious God himself is. He is living in inapproachable light, and his greatness is beyond comprehension. Still, the way the sun rays shine over the clouds, over the earth, so the Lord radiates his glory over all creation. As Paul put it in Romans 1, what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Isn't that how it is, indeed, beloved? Right from the beginning of God's work of creation, the first creatures, the angels, sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy. Job 38, verse 7. Already as they saw God create the earth and setting it on its foundations. Yes, on the second day, the wide expanse of the sky also declared the glory of God, as David articulates it in Psalm 19, verse 1. And when he created the trees, the plants, and the flowers on the third day, you can imagine how clearly and gloriously God wrote his name in all the earth over the wonderful vegetation which he had laid there. The landscaper par excellence. Imagine the singing of the birds on the fifth day and their praising God's name. Yet, the climax of all this praise and glory to his name, man, expressed when he was created on the sixth day. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8, verse 1. Man had eyes to see this, ears to hear it all, and a mind with which he was able to see and understand what has been made. What? Well, God's eternal power and divine nature, Paul says. Now, this is what we have to know truly, rightly, in the first place, beloved. We and our children are set apart to praise and glorify Him in all these works in which He shows His almighty power. Isn't that why we send our children to Christian schools? Sure, then we want them to learn to read and write and calculate and study biology, history, etc. Yet isn't it in the first place that they may learn to see God in this world of words and figures, of plants and animals? Of course, then it's important that they hear the Bible stories and memorize their psalms and hymns, but that's not the only thing that makes a school a Christian school. It's to show God, their Maker and Father in heaven, in all His works and words. They have to learn this young, for when they go on to higher education, they won't have teachers to show it to them. In fact, at university, they may not even be allowed to express that in their papers. Those teachers and professors pretend that God isn't there. While it is especially in these advanced studies that there is so much to be seen and discovered and learned about God's handiwork and providence. We are children of the Father in heaven, beloved. And we pray that in this world of God, His name may be hallowed. Our children learn to pray this as they grow and increase in knowledge about their Creator through all their studies. Yes, we all have to pray this, living as we are in a society in which science and technology keep advancing, but in such a poor fashion. They are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart, Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 18. Paul already observed this in his time, and we too are living in similar dark times. And that's not due to the fact that God did not manifest and reveal Himself in words and works. It is because people put blinders on. You know, one time when I had a chat with my neighbor, I spoke with him about this. And his answer was, "I am looking another way. I turn my face away from seeing this. I'm fine. I don't need to know or see it. My life is fine the way it is." You see, that's when you say to yourself, "Father, hallowed be your name. Take those blinders off and make him turn his eyes to see your glorious works." Evidently, brothers and sisters, you then also realize that it's not enough that people see it, know it, that God is there and that He has made all things. It's not enough that we and all men know this. We should also acknowledge it, confess it, and profess His name that way. For that, therefore, we need more. We need God's Word. By His Word, the Lord opens our eyes for His power and majesty. Yes, by His Word, He revealed to us His love and mercy, His grace and glorious work of recreation even more. The Father wants us to love Him and honor Him because we know Him as the Holy God, the Exalted One, whom the angels praise day after day. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He wants to be confessed as the Almighty God and praised for His wisdom, His goodness, His justice and truth. Well, he has shown his faithfulness and steadfast love in that he fulfills his word and showed his love in the incarnation of the word in Jesus Christ. He made it possible for us to become children of God by adoption. He showed us that we can trust him as the Father who does what he has promised. Then he wants to see us come to him and say, "Our Father who is in heaven, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You have called me and you want to restore me and make me heir to this creation. Me together with all your children." The Lord Jesus made him known to us, beloved, as we have seen and confessed in Lord's Day 46, teaching us to address him as our Father who is in heaven. The Lord Jesus also made him known to us as the holy God, whose justice he came to satisfy. He showed us the Father by coming into the flesh in Bethlehem. And he revealed to us the Father in all his words and works, his miracles and marvelous acts, especially by his suffering and death for us and in our place, in order that we could become God's children. That's what he did. That's what he gave us, in order that we would know him, acknowledge him, and confess him, professing his name to our children, our neighbors, our colleagues, with the sincere prayer that his name be hallowed by us and all men. That first. Secondly, grant that we may hallow your name in a righteous life. God the Father, brothers and sisters, wants us to acknowledge him in our whole life. Yes, he wants to be acknowledged by us and all men. You know, when children learn to acknowledge their parents, they do so in order to honor their parents, to obey them. They learn to do so in their upbringing, in the manners they teach, in the virtues that are instilled, such as decency and kindness and respect and politeness, etc. Parents teach them these things, not just in order that their children show these manners and virtues to honor their parents, but so that that behavior and conduct is shown in their whole life. Now, with parents, it may be so that their children do not need to make this honoring and praising of parents too obvious. As long as they may see it as their children's general attitude towards them and others. With God, however, it is his ultimate desire that his children do show him the honor and respect, the praise and glory that is due his name. He created them for that purpose. As we together read in Revelation 15, brothers and sisters, the ultimate outcome of God's history with this world and mankind is that grand choir singing, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. All nations will come and worship you." That's the goal and secret of creation and history, that all peoples and nations praise and glorify God. That will also explain the reason for God's wrath over the nations when people do not praise him. And in the book of Revelation, it explains in the subsequent chapters why the Lord poured out the seven bowls of his wrath over this world. Our prayer, "Hallowed be your name," evokes God's judgments over the empty lives of the peoples who do not live to the praise of his glorious name. That's an important observation with a view to our worship of him and of the manner in which we participate in the worship services. Yes, this awareness should be an incentive as well for the music we play in our houses and cars to ensure it praises God, and that we should join in with the singing we hear from our CDs and Spotify. God wants to be praised, and He is a jealous God who cannot stand it when we, our children, rob Him of this praise because we prefer rap or rock or other rotten music expressing the ranting and rebellion of man. Then you will understand as well, beloved, that this praise and honor to God is not just a matter of music and song. As our Heidelberg Catechism puts it, that we may direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name is always honored and praised. That's the reason why the Father sent His Son, to restore us to God and meet the purpose of our existence after all. That's what the righteousness entails, in which we may share by faith through Christ's Spirit, that we live for God again. Hence, when we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are to examine ourselves and ask, "What am I living for? And for whom? For myself? For my career, for my study, for my husband, for my wife, my family, for my own spiritual well-being in the church?" Of course, all these aspects of your life are important, but especially in your life to the honor of God. So do you truly desire to honor Him in your work, in your marriage, your family, your participation in church and school? If not, your life is empty and your service senseless. He wants to be praised and honored and glorified by you and by the fruits of your life. Do you realize, beloved, how important this honor and glory of God is? You know, as we sang in the Psalms, creation does praise its maker. And in history, God is working out His plan with this world in order that in the end, all nations will praise Him. But today, there are millions of people who have a mouth, but they praise not. Their lives are senseless and fruitless as far as God's praise and honor is concerned. Hence, we ought to have that in mind too when we are exhorted to confess our God and profess His name in Jesus Christ. God wants His name hallowed. God gave His Son for that purpose, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world for that purpose. Those who believe in Him and profess His name will seek the song of Moses and the Lamb. They will join in with the church of all times and all places in the song of Old and New Testament that was sung by God's people Israel after they escaped through the Red Sea. And that will be sung, "I will sing of the Lord, for He is highly exalted." God's own Son, brothers and sisters, testified of His own purpose in this world, where He said, "I honor my Father. I am not seeking glory for myself." John 8, verse 49. Now His mouth was shut at the cross in order that our mouths be opened for honor and praise, for a life to glorify God. That's what we should remember tomorrow when we return to our studies, our work, our duties. That's something we need to learn. We need to exercise and practice in order that we may more and more be Christ-like and reflect the Father in our life, being merciful as He is, forgiving, faithful, and consistent in accordance with His word, His promises. We should be recognized as those who live through Christ, in Christ, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Yes, in our thoughts that please God and seek to edify others. In words that are spoken as the very words of God, as Peter puts it in chapter 4, verse 11. And in deeds that seek to honor God, deeds that show you to be the light of the world, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. That be your prayer, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's a prayer for ongoing repentance and renewal, in order that we may honor and praise Him and incite others to do the same. Amen. Let us respond by turning to number 473. By the sea of crystal, saints in glory stand, myriads in number drawn from every land. Number 473, all three stanzas, is our song of response.